And I want you to biblically try to discern this. Try to answer this.
Question from Ruth. I just wanted to know what Tim's views were on taking part in Halloween. In the past, we've been taught to get involved in it in order to reach the lost and be a light, and therefore letting our kids enjoy it. Would you agree and encourage this, or is this just a matter of conscience? Okay, first thing I would say is that I would not agree. And let me be clear about what I don't agree, what I would not agree with. I honestly don't agree that pastors ought to be in a position where they are specifically going to say, "Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not observe Christmas," or "Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not observe Halloween," or "Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not observe a birthday or an anniversary," or whatever the things are that people celebrate. I really think we need to be careful as pastors. Why? Because our authority comes from Scripture. I don't have authority to go beyond that. Now, you can ask me, what's my own opinion? What do I do? I can tell you that. But I think it's very important as pastors that we don't seek to put our own convictions on God's people unless we can absolutely prove those convictions from Scripture. So here's the thing. Here's what I would come at, whether it's got to do with Halloween or it's got to do with Christmas or Easter, or, I mean, if Easter comes from Ishtar, comes from Egypt, Christmas, Christ Mass. The Mass is Catholic. It's an abominable practice to the Lord. Christmas trees, Yuletide, Yule logs, the holly, the Christmas tree and the ornaments and the, I mean, you go down the, you basically, you can find pagan roots. Oh, they're all over Christmas. They're all over Easter. Of course, they're all over Halloween. But here's what we have to ask ourselves. I mentioned this before. I didn't have us turn to it, but let's turn to it now. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14 is important for all of us to really get a feel for. First Corinthians 14, pursue love. Now we could just stop right there. You see, one of the things that we want to think about is we want to think about how our decisions impact other people. That's one of the most important things that you're going to find. Oh, wait. Sorry. Same principle. I was actually reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Romans 14. But the principle's the same. 14. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. Okay. See, the thing is, I think that you guys were given bad teaching with regards to Romans 14. Now, I don't want to go through and dissect exactly everything that Kevin told you all about this, but let's just be faithful to the passage. Is it possible to get people in the church who are weak in faith? Yes. But what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to disregard the weak simply because they're weak? That's not what it says. It doesn't say just go on and do what you want to do because you're strong and just ignore the weak. It says there is people in the church who are weak in faith. Welcome him. And avoid the quarrels. That's the idea. Not to quarrel over opinions. And you know what? If we are going to be biblical people, we're going to have opinions. If you're going to be Berean, you're going to have opinions. if you're going to know your Bible and interpret your Bible, you're going to have opinions. Look, strong Christians have strong convictions. Lay that down. People with weak convictions are weak. That's not good. We want to be people of strong opinion, strong conviction. And I'll show you this in a second. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Okay, we see there is a weak person. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. So again, don't judge each other. It's kind of like the Sabbath. Don't judge each other with regards to this. Don't despise each other just because you end up with differences of conviction. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. So it goes both ways. Because you know what happens. The person who thinks that they've got the liberty to do it, they look at the other person like from a text like this and they think, well, they're weak. You know, they don't understand what I understand. So you can look down at people that way. The guy that is weak, he looks at the guy that's strong and he feels like, oh, that guy's taking too many liberties. I mean, that guy's venturing out he's venturing off on the fringes. He's toying with ungodliness. That's how people tend to think. Some people in the church look at others and they think, oh, those people are being ungodly. Other people in the church, they look and they say, no, I've got Christian liberty there. You're just being weak. You're being narrow. You're being judgmental. This is how we can think about each other. Now, look, there is a time to look at somebody and say, hey, you're sinning, because Scripture speaks clearly on this matter. But there's a lot of things that the Bible honestly does not speak clearly about. 4. This is the same thing we got in Colossians 2. Who are you to pass judgment? Don't judge each other. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It's before his own master that he stands or falls. He will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Now, we could throw Easter in here. We could throw birthdays in here. We could throw anniversaries in here. We could throw Christmas in here. We could throw Halloween in here. Notice this, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Isn't that interesting? You might think, hey, the way to keep peace in the church is just to have everybody not convinced a whole lot about anything. If you have people that don't have strong convictions, that's the best way to keep peace. Because if you have people, look, if I got a guy over here that believes vaccines are absolutely necessary, comes out of a medical background of some sort, he's seen the research, he's absolutely convinced, my children have to be vaccinated. You get this other family over here, they've done the research, they are absolutely convinced that they take old monkey flesh and they do this kind of stuff and there's horrible bacteria and people get autism from that, and they've done the research and they've, look, you want people in the church that have convictions. Churches with strong convictions are places where people fight and die for the truth. We want that. We want people ready to go to prison and ready to go to the stake to die for their convictions of truth. This book is truth. We want to be people of truth. We want to be people of conviction. And that's what Paul says. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. It's like, wait, Paul, you're saying that one person is fully convinced that one day's better than another, and another is fully convinced exactly the opposite direction. Paul, don't you know? That's, if there's any formula for having combustion in the church, it's right there. You got a guy over here strongly convinced one way, and this lady over here strongly convinced the other way. Don't you know, Paul? Listen, not if love is ruling the day. And not if we're minded to let people stand or fall before their own maker. Look, one observes the day, he observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, he eats in honor of the Lord. Do you see the issue? Here's the thing I would ask. You who observe Christmas, do you really honor the Lord? You see, sometimes people can look at this and they just get sloppy. It's like, no, I want to observe Christmas. Why? It gives me a nice, soft, fuzzy feeling. I like the lights. I like the smell of a Christmas tree. And so I observe this thing, and I'm going to do it. I like giving. And they don't even think about whether it honors the Lord. I would just say this. If you're going to observe Halloween, are you honoring the Lord? You know what? When our church first started, we met in a house. First 7 months, we met in a house over out here on the south side, about 5 miles off in that direction. We met in a house. One Wednesday evening, we had prayer meeting over there. Guess what? The one October that we happened to meet in a house in almost 20 years as a church happened to fall on Halloween. I didn't realize it, but I realized it once I got there. I got to the house, we're getting ready for prayer meeting, and lo and behold, it's Halloween, and there's kids out there. I said, ladies, hurry up, run to the supermarket and get candy. I said, guys, break out the tracks. I figured, hey, if we've got some kind of holiday that's going to bring lost kids to our door, then by all means, we're going to use this. We're going to get gospel tracts into every single one of the bags. And you know what? We're going to put the best candy in their bags. We're not going to be cheap and give a couple jelly beans. We're going to give them nice chocolate candy bars. And we're going to put the gospel in there too. Why not? Why would you not do that? And I could do it every bit to the Lord. Somebody says, oh, you know, kids are going to come to the doors and they're dressed like Dracula and like demons. And so what? So what if the world is observing a holiday, but it's going to bring people to us so that we can impart the gospel? Why would I not do that? And so we did that. I have no qualms. You know what? I know the history. Even now, if you look, witches, warlocks, that stuff's real. That stuff's demonic. If you go look at what is the high day for demon worship, what is the high day for devil worship, what is the high day for witches and warlocks, it's Halloween. Do I think there's incredible amounts of demonic activity? I do. If somebody says, well, I'm not going to dress up my child as a monster. I'm going to dress him up as a butterfly. And we're going to go get candy. I would just say this. Just make sure that you're honest as to whether you're doing it for the Lord or you're just doing it for just... You remember what Eli did? Eli honored his children more than he honored God. Be careful. If you say, well, I just want to do it so my kids can get candy. I want to do it because my kids want to do it. You just be careful that you're not honoring your children above God. You just be really certain that if you're doing it, you're actually doing it under the Lord. Look, that needs to be a filter for everything that we do in our lives. If you're going to observe Christmas, make sure that you do it under the Lord. I don't want to unnecessarily open the door for demonic activity in my life. And so I was minded not to observe Halloween. Oh yeah, when it fell on a Wednesday and we were meeting in a house and we could give tracts, yes. But other than that, I never got my children involved in it. I figure this, I'd rather go buy my kids a bag of candy than have them go up and down the streets crying trick or treat. I mean, trick or treat, even if you do some research, be Berean. Search these things out. See where that comes from. See what the background is. See where Halloween came from. See what trick or treat means. See what jack-o'-lanterns mean. I mean, look into it. You may find it's entirely pagan and say, you know, what? I mean, is there a place to do something counterculture? Like, well, okay, the world observes Halloween, so we're gonna have a get together at our church building, and we're gonna let the kids dress up as what, Elijah, and John the Baptist, and we'll. I mean, and we're going to give the kids candy that way. I mean, I don't know if you can do something that's got redeeming qualities. Look, I've heard of Christians that observe Christmas and they really do want to make it a time to remember the incarnation of the Lord. I don't condemn that. If I heard that somebody took their kids out and they did some certain thing at Halloween, I would just say this. I would come back to Romans chapter 14 and verse 5 and say this. Every one of you better be fully convinced in his own mind. Fully convinced about what? Well, mainly the next verse. What honors the Lord? Because if I would say this. When you get to the end of your life and you're going to stand before God in judgment, if you observed Halloween, I really hope that you could say, I observed it and I did it unto the Lord. I didn't observe it unto the Lord. That needs to be the filter through which we run everything. And I would say this, you got to be honest. Somebody will say, oh, you know, they cry out, I got Christian liberty. You're being legalistic. Well, okay, we don't want to condemn one another. We don't want to judge one another. But you know what? We better be insisting that each one is convinced and that we're convinced based on a biblical basis and we're convinced because we've really thought about what honors the Lord. If you're making decisions to please your children without really thinking about what honors the Lord, that's idolatry. And you're going to fall in that same category that Eli did, who honored his children above the Lord. God honors those who honor him. Make decisions that are distinctly meant to honor him. I know John MacArthur observes Christmas. I also know that they make it a special time. They focus on those early chapters of Luke and Matthew. It's a time. Look, I don't have any problem with giving gifts. Giving gifts to people that we love. Giving gifts, if we then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children. I mean, there's a reality to that in Scripture. Giving gifts on birthday. I'm not going to say we can't do that. But, I mean, expressing our love to our children and to our wives, our spouses, that there's nothing wrong in that. But just make sure that you're always honoring God above all else. That everything comes from that.